Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of the 1st of May, 2016. This is Jack Bressett-Mills. We have part two of our conversation with Ian this week, but first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week five. I wrote this one 2 years ago. Verse 5. The same light that floods all space with the power of new life pours over me, and I reawaken. I arise and widen, merging myself with the being of the world. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. Verse 5a. This spirit light of spring that awakens all life to life reveals to me a glory, a world of light I may enter as I widen out, reborn. Yeah, I talked with Ian, and we talked a whole hour, and it was too much for one podcast, so I broke it in half. Part one was last week. Here's part two. Ian, that was so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much. Here you go.
Since I've been up here in Colorado, I've had a pretty difficult time finding good work and experienced a lot of stress that I didn't really know was a part of me. You know, I never thought of myself as an anxious person.
Right.
And being up here has really brought some intense anxiety into my life that is a very new experience.
Yeah.
And one of my practices that I've been focusing on is when I feel that anxiety is to, because for a long time it was, or not, I mean, it hasn't been a long time that I've been up here, but for the majority of my experience with that anxiety, it has been to try to distract myself or to try to, you know, maybe go have a drink or to go out and do something with, you know, and figure out a way to get away from it.
Yeah.
Or to replace it with something else. And my practice lately has moved much more towards, if I begin to feel those feelings, it's acknowledging that, you know, this is a part of myself and that it's okay. And just to be with it. And,
nice.
Helps significantly to just be able to sit with it. It's like, if I start feeling anxious, it's like, okay, I'm going to sit here and focus on it and be with myself and,
nice.
You know, let it not have power over me,
beautiful.
You know?
Or I think you also have a slight feeling of my body is talking to me. I'm going to listen now. Or
sure.
Yeah. In a certain sense, that's the ownership statement you made. This is me. This isn't somebody else.
Right.
And I should listen.
Right, exactly.
I should look at it.
And I think that's one of the hardest things we can do as human beings is to truly be with ourselves. And, you know, we want to be with the good parts of ourselves, but accepting that there are things that are challenging or maybe considered flaws or whatever. And, and being able to be with that and truly accept it and love it in some way, because it is part of yourself and you should love yourself. And I mean, to me, that's kind of the path of finding wisdom in one's own life is to start with the self. My favorite analogy, and I use this, ask anybody I talk to, like have real conversations with, I use this analogy all the time, but it's when you're flying on an airplane, they say to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you assist a child or somebody who's next to you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so relevant for our lives and my life specifically, is that it's a good reminder that I can't really take care of somebody or be with somebody fully if I'm not taking care of myself first.
Right. Wonderful.
And it doesn't mean that I need to be selfish and I need to like only do what I want before I do what other people want. It's that I really need to take care of myself and to be with myself and to honor myself before I can give my energy or my love to somebody else.
Wonderful.
So for me, part of that is this process of trying to accept the various aspects of myself that I can accept more willingly, and so some I have to work on a little bit harder.
You mentioned enlightenment a while back, and what you just described is certainly enlightenment. It's learning to accept the anxiety, to let it wash over you, to ask it questions. But then when you realize you're the person who is enlightened, you realize enlightenment is nothing. It's nothing, because now I need to get a job. You know, I'm really fine now with my anxiety. I'm really getting along nicely.
Right.
But now I have to live in the world. So what good is enlightenment? Apparently, every level of enlightenment, it feels exactly the same way. That, well, this is,
right.
I am nowhere.
And right.
You realize there's always more to do and go farther and farther.
Sure. and you still always have to take the trash out and do the dishes.
I was going to explore with you what could be beyond the anxiety, if you'd like. And for me, anyway, I'm talking about myself, of course. The feeling of being in time. How do we get the right job? How do we meet the right person? Everything in the world is based on our timing.
Mm.
And how to be someone who has good luck. When you think of people who have good luck, what you're saying is that they are in time. They have timing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the next level of enlightenment is, how does a person get timing? Because
yeah, right.
If I look at the paper at the right time, I'll see the job that just opened up the paper, right? Nobody looks at the paper anymore. But the idea of timing is, you see what is needed, you step in without a thought, you save the child from the car, you are out of the way when the rock falls down the mountain. All these things are timing. And so how to get timing is really magically important. And of course, being burdened by thinking that you have to be in time, that is not how to get it. People who
are
constantly wondering, am I in time, are not in time. Those people are not in time. So I'd love to explore with you if you've ever thought about that and how to do that. Because there are definitely people who are in time with the world, and they're just zooming through and having the greatest time.
Yeah, it's I have absolutely thought about that, and it's something that I feel like I have been more and less in tune with at different periods of my life.
Yeah.
I think when I'm struggling with something, I have a much harder time being in time or trusting that the world will provide these things that I need.
Yeah.
And tend to try to force things or tend to try to, you know, I like this analogy of life being like a river, and there's always this current taking you somewhere, and we have a choice. I mean, we're human beings. We have a choice in how we want to participate in the flow of this river.
Nice.
But whether we like it or not, the river is going to keep going downstream.
Yeah.
And so we can spend our whole lives trying to swim upstream and chase something back that we saw, you know, a quarter mile ago, or we can swim to the edge and get out and sit on the bank for a while at rest, or we can, you know, we can continue downstream and accept that's where things are going and then enjoy that process. And so, you know, I kind of come in and out of really truly feeling that experience of timing, and often when I'm traveling is when I experience it the most deeply, and I think that's part of what draws me to the experience of travel.
Yeah.
Is like when Canyon and I took that trip through Latin America, it was at such a formative time in our lives, and we had no plan except that we had to be in Peru in 2 months, so we were able to just wake up in the morning and say, okay, what do we want to do today? You know, where do we want to go? And there's nothing that we, had to do. And I felt so, during that time, I felt so in touch with the flow of life and was so aware of people and so aware of the human experience in general. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I felt so in touch with that flow that I could, like, there was an experience I had on a bus when we were in Ecuador, and we ended up getting on the wrong bus or something, going to the wrong city that we want. You know, we had kind of made plans to go somewhere, and it was this really chaotic bus. And I started meditating, and it just sort of, the noise and the stress and everything just kind of disappeared. And, you know, I could have been sitting in my own bedroom or something for all I knew at the moment. And when I came out of that experience, I started talking to this person next to me, and they ended up basically helping us completely as to, like, to where we needed to go, which bus we needed to get on,
yeah.
And ended up even getting off of this bus with us,
yeah,
to walk us to the next bus. Beautiful, to, like, help us on our way.
Beautiful.
And this happened multiple times on this trip.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You behaved,
yeah.
You behaved correctly somehow. And then life, mm-hmm. life knew that you were worthy somehow, and then everything opens correctly for you.
Right.
And it's
right.
Just magical.
It's incredible. And I guess I personally, yeah, I believe that experience is available to everybody.
Yeah.
It's just being aware of it. I think often we're so caught up in the things that are going on in our immediate life, like having to take the trash out or do the dishes, yeah. Yeah. that we forget that the universe is constantly,
yeah. Yeah.
giving us these options. You know, the option is always there. It's whether or not we choose to see it and to act on it.
You mentioned trust pretty early in that, what you just talked about. And to think that the world has something called timing. I mean, really, you're not talking about yourself when you talk about timing. You're talking mm-hmm. about the world, really, right? Because there's mm-hmm. there's a path, there's a flowing river of time that exists that I can enter, and the right things happen. That's a trust. That's a
mm-hmm.
That's closest thing I can think of to a faith or a belief in the mm-hmm. In the goodness of the world to you. And then the opposite of that feeling of trust is the anxiety you're talking about too. So how do you just go with it when anyone will say you're a knucklehead, you can't be like that. You gotta get your ass to work, you know, you gotta get up and you got to write this thing now. And
right.
It doesn't feel that way. It feels like you should do this other thing, but logic says you should do this. And, oh, my God, it's a tearing apart.
Yeah.
The anxiety.
Yeah.
There's a battle going on in you between head and heart, perhaps, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really good way to put it. And it's something I've struggled with up here, because I think the anxiety has come about as I've felt like survival is becoming difficult. You know, like when my basic needs of
yeah.
eating and paying for my lodging and
hey, by the way, I'm going to stop you right there and say,
sure.
having last resorts is so important. You know, when I was young, I read all these survival books, and so my last resort was, I can always survive in the woods, right? Someone else's last resort might be, I can always live on the street. I can go down there and be homeless. The last resort might be kind of terrible. So there should be several last resorts, a couple that are before
right.
being homeless. So having these last resorts in your backpack make it possible that you can take risks. You can take, that's what's so great about not having children. With children, you cannot think that way because you got to think of college and doctors. But not having kids, you are so free to risk and do what might be the right thing. Anyway, I interrupted whatever you were saying. I hope you can try to get back to it. But you have a lot of last resorts, and I'm one of them. I hope you know.
I appreciate that.
Good.
Yeah. I am very aware that I have options, you know, that if this didn't work out here, that I certainly have places and to go and people who would care for me and give me opportunities to get back on my feet or something. But I guess this experience is something that I've needed, of really struggling and really creating my own space in a new place I think I needed it. I needed to have to be scrappy and find work and, make ends meet. And I needed to not fall back on my support network.
Yep. Good for you.
And it's been a really good experience. It's been very challenging, but it's made me stronger. But I think, again, that anxiety is sort of like when you're barely making enough money to cover, your bottom line, not to mention that you're dating somebody and you want to enjoy the place you're living that you just moved to.
It's tough.
It is. And then it's like then trying to focus on this belief that the world will provide for you and create
it sounds pretty lame to think, oh my God, that's why would anyone think that,
Right. Right. And so it's like when I'm in that moment of struggle of just in survival mode, it's so hard for me to really feel that belief. I still know it to be true. It's just that it's not, what's the hierarchy of needs? I can't remember whose name it's after, there's a hierarchy of you need these basic survival things before you can get to more spiritual and education and enlightenment and everything. And somebody I was talking to the other day said that Wi-Fi should be one of them.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
That's right. I was going to say a couple of things. When I play a game of chess, I suffer when I'm losing. I suffer. I actually suffer. And it just shows me that we play at life. It's not really life and death because you got your dad and you got your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we tell ourselves this is life and death. And
it is
serious, because what we're really talking about is, I said I could do this.
And I
don't want to admit to myself, especially, but to anybody else, that I can't do this. I was wrong. I'm not good enough. I made an error. And so really what we're talking about, and I feel it as much as you, is our pride. That's the thing that's going to hurt. It's really going to hurt. But this, I wanted to mention then, the second thing was the leap of faith. The idea of a leap of faith is exactly what you're talking about. You have $100 left, and you spend 99 of them to go downtown to do something that you felt like you should do. It doesn't make any fiscal sense. You're not supposed to do that. But by doing what felt like the right thing to do, if you're a healthy person, here I'm talking about a healthy, mentally healthy person, physically, mentally healthy person, if you're doing what you feel like you should do, it is the right thing to do. And that is the leap of faith. That's the leap of faith. It doesn't make any sense, whatever it is. But nobody can tell you what that thing is, of course. That's what timing is. It's completely individual. Nobody can help you with that. It's really wild.
And I think, again, about trust, it's sort of trusting your you know, trusting your gut or trusting your intuition or however you want to say it. It's like knowing yourself to know that what things you need to follow, to pursue.
Yeah. It ends up feeling like cheating. I've known people who, when they face a problem, they have to fight it out. They have to work at the problem. Whereas I have always taken life as giving me messages. And when I have a chance to avoid a problem, I avoid the problem. And I have had plenty of problems in my life that I couldn't avoid. It's not like I'm suddenly missing out on all the horrible things that other people have. I have horrible things too.
Right.
But anytime I was able to avoid the problem, I avoided the problem. I avoid the loud noise. I avoid the obnoxious friend. I avoid the jackhammer. I even avoid I'm walking down the street and a car goes by from right to left. I turn left because the car went by from right to left. So I kind of just go along with the stream of things. I mean, that maybe sounds stupid, but, and of course it doesn't happen every time a car goes by from right to left, but I end up finding that life is a breeze and it feels like I'm somehow cheating, that I shouldn't be having this much fun with my life.
And you should suffer more.
I should suffer more. And so that comes from either our Puritan background or our parents or something. You know, the most highly religious people can never be really happy because that means something bad is going to happen. And if they ever get a gift, a really wonderful gift, it can't last. They're going to pay somehow. They're going to break their leg.
Right.
Somebody's going to die.
Right.
Those beliefs are so serious. And so they end up, the only time they're happy is when they're miserable. When everything is wrong, then they're happy because nothing else can go wrong. And I'm so sad for that kind of life because that's a choice. As much as it is for you to have the choice of, I do what I feel is right and good things happen as a result, that can be a choice too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe that we have the choice to perceive life as we want it to be. You know, it's that bad things will always happen, but how you choose to perceive them can really change your experience with those bad things. You know, it can be the thing that ruins you, or it can be the thing that, you know, you learn so much from and makes you much stronger.
Boy, from the outside, what I said sounds so silly. If you looked at my life, actually, I'm always 2 days ahead of a deadline, and I'm always paying my bills, and I'm worried about taxes all through the month of March because they're due in April, those kind of things. And so it's not like I'm a harebrained, you know. It's not like...
Sure.
So in order to have timing, in my opinion, in order to have timing, in order to have good luck, you are completely prepared. I'm the Boy Scout. I've always got whatever I need. I carry a bag with every possible thing that I could need. And so I'm always ready for anything. And I'd like to pride myself on that's the kind of guy I am. When someone says, hey, let's go swimming, I'll go, okay. Because I'm ready for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not simply blah, la la and floating off the ground. I'm very practical. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's. I think that without that practical, grounded quality, you can't live your life in the real world. You know, you can't, or it's much more difficult to not be rooted in the reality of we have to do our taxes and we have to worry about our mortgages and, you know, some of these things. And I think the more that you can make it a habit or a routine, just like meditation, it's something that you're then free of or doesn't have that power over you to distract you from some more important things in your life, like enjoying your life.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever tried this. Whenever I didn't have a job, I've moved several times to a city without a job, and I get there. I find the place that I like to be, like a food co-op or... I'll just say the food co-op. Why not? A lot of cities have a food co-op. That I'll go there and I'll see, these are cool people. I like these people. And I'll help them. And I'll help them the very best I can. And I'll just say, may I help you? I don't have anything else to do today. I like you people. Yeah, do this, do that. Every time that I've ever done that, I get great jobs. Maybe not at the food co-op, but someone at the food co-op knows someone, and they say, man, I know someone who needs somebody.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's a door. By going and helping the good people around you, that's
right.
A doorway to the other thing. I fully believe that. And that's the following the heart I'm talking about. It's an active following the heart. It's a I can do it kind of an attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I really identify with that, with the way I look at work is sort of, part of it is obviously I just need to make money to live, but a big part of it is just learning and being able to be creative and be able to engage with people. And I've had that experience a lot in my life of, working really hard and enjoying it and being present with the work and with the people I'm working with. And I've had so many jobs just, fall in my lap because of that attitude.
Yep.
And, people want to work with people who are like that,
That's right. If that's most of the qualification for any job you'd ever want is, will we enjoy you here?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it becomes a very intense relationship in most respects, or it becomes at least a very time-intensive relationship.
But of course, that's the timing and that's the identity. All these things go together in the same line, that the person who knows who they are, confident with themselves, in time, has the best job, best friends, not usually rich in any sense, except for the wealth of their life. Their life is just a dream of a life.
Right.
The right people, the right spouse, the right partner. All these things from the fact that you were on top of things and you were taking care of business. All these silly words, which really is just getting up in the morning and feeling good about being alive, and this is a beautiful place, and everything kind of just flows from that. And whether it's from a good dream life or a good meditative life, or the fact that you walked, or the fact that you helped somebody, all these things, that you didn't get drunk, so many things go into the fact that you find the right job.
Yeah, I think it's being present with yourself and being present with those around you and the things that are going on around you. Every time in my life where I've been truly present, it's been the most peaceful times in my life, the greatest inner peace. Where my thoughts are the most quiet, are the most focusing on things outside of yourself.
I'm just going to end the conversation here by saying that I was blessed by someone asking me, well, what do you want to do? Someone asked me that, and I was your age, and I don't think anyone had ever asked me that, at least since I was a kid. And my God, it hit me really hard. And I said, what do I want to do? And of course you can't find the right thing if you don't even know it yourself. How can you possibly? So what a great question. I hope you have wrestled with that one. It's such a great question. Anyway, I love you, Ian. Thank you so much for talking.
Well, I love you too, Jack. Thank you for inviting me into this conversation. It's been really nice.
And thank you, Ian. So good. Thank you for listening, everyone. Leave me a note, if you like, at my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net. And I'll see you next week. This is Jack Brissett-Mills. Bye-bye.